Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Passage of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement is an opportunity for Congress not only to help U.S. farmers and ranchers turn the corner on trade, but also show that Washington can still get things done on a bipartisan basis, according to AFBF President Zippy Duvall. Ratification of the USMCA would build on the momentum of the U.S.-Japan agreement, which gave a major boost to American agricultural products in our fourth largest market and send a signal that the U.S. is back in business in the international marketplace, according to Duvall. While the House was expected to vote before Congress adjourns for the year on December 20th, Senate leaders said their chamber will take up the implementation legislation in the new year. Farm Bureau is encouraging farmers and ranchers to urge their lawmakers to move USMCA along as quickly as possible. An interim trade deal with China is a step toward a full agreement and normalized trade with China, according to AFBF. Veronica Nye, an AFBF economist, explained in Tuesday's Newsline that she is hopeful the Phase 1 agreement leads to more agreement between U.S. and China. Nye said, ideally, this Phase 1 agreement will be signed in mid-January and then will be immediately followed by negotiations for a Phase 2, Phase 3, until all of the issues within reason are solved. Bringing China back as a sizable market for U.S. agriculture is certainly critical to U.S. farmers' ability to continue to grow their businesses. AFBF and 36 other farm organizations sent a letter last week to Representatives Jimmy Panetta of California and Jackie Walorski of Indiana expressing their support of H.R. 5259, the Preserving Family Farms Act of 2019, which was introduced by the representatives. This legislation will help family-owned agriculture businesses transition to the next generation by allowing more land to be appraised on its agricultural value rather than its development value for estate tax purposes. In the letter, the groups said, estate taxes, especially if based on inflated land values, can add to the pressures that push a family to sell agricultural land and fragment businesses. The negative ramifications of these actions extend well beyond the harm caused to farm and ranch businesses, impacting the ancillary businesses and rural communities where agriculture is the primary economic driver. When this land is lost to development, agriculture loses its base for production forever. The letter also said expanding the amount of farm and ranch land that can be appraised at its agriculture value will keep more land in agriculture production and prevent estate taxes from breaking apart multi-generation family farms and ranches. And finally today, we take pleasure in answering thus prominently the communication below, expressing at the same time our great gratification that its faithful author is numbered among the friends of the Sun. Dear Editor, I am 8 years old. Some of my friends say there is no Santa Claus. Papa says, if you see it in the sun, it's so. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? Virginia O'Hanlon. Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe except they see. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds. All minds, Virginia, whether they be men's or children's, are little. In this great universe of ours, man is a mere insect, an ant, in his intellect as compared with the boundless world about him, as measured by the intelligence capable of grasping the whole of truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist, and you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary would be the world if there were no Santa Claus. It would be as dreary as if there were no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith then, no poetry, no romance to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in sense and sight. The internal light with which childhood fills the world would be extinguished. Not believe in Santa Claus? You might as well not believe in fairies. You might get your papa to hire men to watch in all the chimneys on Christmas Eve to catch Santa Claus, but even if you did not see Santa Claus coming down, What would that prove? Nobody sees Santa Claus, but that is no sign that there is no Santa Claus. The most real things in the world are those that neither children nor men can see. Did you ever see fairies dancing on the lawn? Of course not, but that's no proof that they are not there. Nobody can conceive or imagine all the wonders there are unseen and unseeable in the world. You tear apart the baby's rattle and see what makes the noise inside, but there is a veil covering the unseen world which not the strongest man, nor even the united strength of all the strongest men that ever lived could tear apart. Only faith, poetry, love, romance can push aside that curtain and view the and picture the supernal beauty and glory beyond. Is it all real? Ah, Virginia. In all this world, there is nothing else real and abiding. No Santa Claus? Thank God he lives and lives forever. 1,000 years from now, Virginia, nay, 10 times 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the heart of childhood. Francis B. Church's editorial, "Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus," was an immediate sensation and went on to become one of the most famous editorials ever written. It first appeared in the New York Sun in 1897, over 120 years ago, and was reprinted annually until 1949, when the paper went out of business. 36 years after her letter was printed, Virginia O'Hanlon recalled the events that prompted her letter. She said, "Quite naturally, I believed in Santa Claus, for he had never disappointed me. But when less fortunate little boys and girls said there wasn't any Santa Claus, I was filled with doubts." She asked her father, and he was a little evasive on the subject. It was a habit in their family that whenever any doubts came up as to how to pronounce a word or some question of historical fact was in doubt, they wrote to the question and answer column in the Sun. Her father would always say, "If you see it in the Sun, it's so," and that settled the matter. She told her father she was just going to write the Sun and find out the real truth. He said, "Go ahead, Virginia. I'm sure the Sun will give you the right answer, as it always does." And so Virginia sat down and wrote her parents' favorite newspaper. Her letter found its way into the hands of a veteran editor, Francis P. Church. Son of a Baptist minister, Church had covered the Civil War for the New York Times and had worked on the New York Sun for 20 years, more recently as an anonymous editorial writer. Church, a sardonic man, had for his personal motto, "Endeavor to clear your mind of cant." When controversial subjects had to be tackled on the editorial page, especially those dealing with theology, the assignments were usually given to Church. Now he had in his hands a little girl's letter on a most controversial matter, and he was burdened with the responsibility of answering it. "Is there a Santa Claus?" the childish scrawl in the letter asked. At once, Church knew that there was no avoiding the question. He must answer, and he must answer truthfully. And so he turned to his desk, and he began his reply, which was to become one of the most memorable editorials in newspaper history. Church married shortly after the editorial appeared. He died in April 1906, leaving no children. Virginia O'Hanlon went on to graduate from Hunter College with a Bachelor of Arts degree at age 21. The following year, she received her master's from Columbia, and in 1912, she began teaching in the New York City school system, later becoming a principal. After 47 years, she retired as an educator. Throughout her life, she received a steady stream of mail about her Santa Claus letter, and to each reply, she attached an attractive printed copy of the Church editorial. Virginia O'Hanlon Douglas died on May 13, 1971, at the age of 81, in a nursing home in Valatie, New York. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.